I'm WBJC's Interim General Manager, Jonathan Polewski. The end of June, today, marks the end of our fiscal year, and I'd like to thank everyone who pledged during this time to support WBJC and everyone who listened. I thought it might be a nice way to say thank you by highlighting the life and works of a different composer each day until June 30th. Let's call it 30 and 30. By the way, if you didn't make a pledge, you can still be a part of our fundraising efforts this fiscal year by going to WBJC.com. And today, mes petits amis, would be the day to do it, because it's the last day of the month and our fiscal year ends at the end of it. So without further ado, the final 30 in 30. He was born in 1840 in beautiful downtown Votkinsk, a town some 600 miles or so east of Moscow. His father was a mining engineer slash civil servant, and his mother, with the help of a governess, managed to raise seven children. Both of his parents were trained in music, which they passed on to their artistic child. It probably helped to pass the evenings in bucolic Votkinsk. His parents felt that there was no reason to educate their boy in music. There was clearly no future in that in Imperial Russia at this time. Instead, they sent him to the School of Jurisprudence in beautiful downtown St. Petersburg. This was a high school slash boarding school where young men were trained to be civil servants. While music was not taught at school, Tchaikovsky entertained his fellow students with his keyboard prowess, and there was no lack of cultural events to attend in the imperial capital. In 1862, something extraordinary happened in Russia, which would change its music forever. The Grand Duchess Yelena Pavlovna, aided by the esteemed pianist, conductor, and composer Anton Rubinstein, opened Russia's first imperial conservatory. Russia was now able to educate its young musicians in the basics of Western music. Tchaikovsky became one of Rubinstein's first students. When Tchaikovsky graduated from the conservatory, he was offered a job by Anton Rubinstein's brother, Nikolai, to teach at the newly opened Moscow Conservatory. While Anton Rubinstein and Tchaikovsky had clearly been teacher and student, Tchaikovsky's relationship with Nikolai Rubinstein would be much more collegial. The pay was minuscule, only 50 rubles per month, but Tchaikovsky had achieved something all music students covet. He had a job in music. He also had the thrill of having his first work performed in public, which was his characteristic dances, conducted by none other than Johann Strauss Jr., the Waltz King. While the Rubinstein brothers educated Tchaikovsky in Western classical music, he received a thorough schooling in Russian national music from Mili Balakirev. Balakirev was determined to create concert music that was innately Russian. Inspired by the operas of Mikhail Glinka, like A Life for the Tsar and Ruslan and Ludmilla, he used Russian folk music as the inspiration for a new sound. Balakirev thought Tchaikovsky had great potential and helped the young composer revise his first masterpiece, the Romeo and Juliet Fantasy Overture. In 1877, Tchaikovsky received a letter from a woman named Antonina Milyukova, who claimed she was a former student of his. Antonina said she had romantic feelings for Tchaikovsky, who frankly had no memory of her whatsoever. Tchaikovsky wrote back politely and said he was not interested in meeting, but when Madame Milyukova threatened suicide, Tchaikovsky agreed to meet and eventually marry. The marriage was an unmitigated disaster. Tchaikovsky had no interest in women sexually, and even worse, she knew nothing about his music. At this time, he was interested in writing an opera based on Pushkin's Eugene Onegin, a story where the callous Onegin rejects the brave Tatiana. Perhaps not wanting to offend Antonina, he had made a terrible decision. Another woman who had a much more positive effect on the composer was Nadezhda von Meck. The widow of a railway baron, she devoted her life to the arts and was passionately inspired by Tchaikovsky's music. She became his patron and supported him generously for 14 years. The only condition of her support was that they never meet and their friendship would be one of letters. It was through Madame von Meck's support that Tchaikovsky was able to leave his wife and flee to Switzerland. There, surrounded by friends, he wrote the fabulous violin concerto. Like his idol Mozart, Tchaikovsky was a composer who wrote in multiple styles. He wrote music that was somewhat nostalgic and virtuosic, like the Violin Concerto, Rococo Variations, and First Piano Concerto. He also wrote music that was intensely emotional and personal, like his Fourth Symphony. Inspired by Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, Tchaikovsky gives us his own version of Fate Knocking on the Door. In 1891, Tchaikovsky came to America to conduct the opening concert of Carnegie Hall in New York. He was surprised to find that Americans not only loved his music, they recognized him on the street. The composer conducted his recently written Fifth Symphony to great acclaim and many curtain calls. Following the concert, Tchaikovsky got on a train and visited Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C. In our fair city, he conducted a concert at the Lyceum, located on the 1200 block of Charles Street, on the program, the First Piano Concerto, and the Serenade for Strings. After 25 days abroad, Tchaikovsky was ready to return home. The final 2 years of his life would be productive ones, culminating in his Sixth Symphony. He died 9 days after the premiere on November the 6th, 1893. There are three editions of Grove's Dictionary of Music and Musicians that I know of. The first says the composer died of cholera from drinking untreated water. The second, that he committed suicide to avoid a homosexual scandal. The third and current edition says, if I may quote, "The polemics over Tchaikovsky's death have reached an impasse. Rumors attached to the famous die hard. As for illness, problems of evidence offer little hope of satisfactory resolution. The state of diagnosis, the confusion of witnesses, disregard of long-term effects of smoking and alcohol. We do not know how Tchaikovsky died. We may never find out." I'm WBJC's Jonathan Polevsky. Thank you so much for listening to 30 and 30, Lo, These 30 Days. And thanks so much to everyone who wrote emails or who commented on the webpage. Very grateful for all of it. If you'd like to support WBJC's musical efforts in the last hours of this fiscal year, you can go online to WBJC.com, and I thank you.